Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Mark chapter 9. Jesus is coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. Surely one of the high points for this inner circle of disciples, only to be once again greeted by real life. Oh, how we long to stay on mountaintops with the glorious revelation of God. God, on the other hand, did not call us to live our life in heaven, but rather on this fallen earth, one which is filled with all the effects of sin that brings us death and the devil. You know what I mean, the kind of day that they're having, or at least you've had a taste of it, I hope. You know, when you're having an awesome day, or at least part of a day, and it feels like everything's going great, and then all of a sudden the tire goes flat. The children start fighting in the back seat of the car. You name the problem, the doctor calls, and it's bad news this time. And all of a sudden we're reminded ever so horribly with the reality of the fact that we are still in the valley of death. Just look at the text. The nine disciples weren't with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're now standing there arguing with the scribes. Surely about the inability to cast out the boy. It is interesting to note, though, while the nine disciples were not able to cast this demon out of this child, obviously the scribes weren't able to either, otherwise the child wouldn't have been brought to them in the first place. And yet they're standing around arguing over who's the most useless. They're probably the scribes attacking Jesus and his teaching since his disciples were not able to do what they thought they could do. The setting reminds me of what's going on right now as you watch TV and every third or every second commercial is one politician telling us that the other politician is Satan, while the other politician is telling us that the other politician is the devil. All while forgetting who they represent. That's what's happening with the nine. That's what happens in our country. Jesus comes down and he seems a little frustrated. He says, "What are you arguing about with them? What is there to argue about? This boy, he needs help. He's been oppressed by a demon since he was a small child." Patiathen is the word here. So he's not an infant, but he's not a teenager either. Probably between 4, 5 and 10 or so. This man's son has been suffering, and they have tried everything. Well, let's pause for a second. They didn't try everything, did they? Jesus kind of pointed that out immediately, didn't he? They forgot prayer. We know it happens to us, doesn't it? It's easy to forget prayer. Life gets busy. Our trust seems to naturally turn to the things that we can see and we can touch and have some feeling of control over. So we forget to pray. We forget to speak with the one who can and does have control over everything. So Jesus rebukes all there. That includes his disciples. O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy. Bring him to me. Luther, in commenting on prayer, he simply says, a Christian without prayer is just as impossible as a living person without a pulse. The pulse is never motionless. It moves. It beats constantly, whether one is asleep or something else keeps one from being aware of it. See, that's the thing with prayer, is you'll find that you'll do it even when you're not thinking about doing it. as you continue in your day having conversations with the Father in heaven through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is Jesus of whom the crowds have been saying he does all things well. Even the deaf hear and the mute speak. But this kind of demon is difficult. Apart from faith, the demon isn't going anywhere, for the disciples' failure was caused by a lack of prayer. Presumably, they were trusting in their own ability to exorcise this demon rather than prayerfully trusting in the power of God. This is one of the debates we kind of have when we deal with exorcisms between the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church. We Lutherans will proclaim the word and pray and wait for the Lord to provide. It seems like in some of the rites of the Catholic Church, the historic Roman Catholic Church, they try to pick a fight and see if they can survive. It doesn't work so well. They have a pretty high mental, mental breakdown among their own exorcists after they've actually been involved with something that is an actual exorcism. But Jesus is trying to get across the point. And I do want to pause here for just one more second, because our natural minds would immediately say, well, this sounds like the boy has epilepsy, right? He's on the ground, he's shaking, he's foaming at the mouth. But the text doesn't tell us he has epilepsy. In fact, we need to understand that's not what he has. Otherwise, we're denying the inerrancy of the Scriptures. What may be described as what looks like epilepsy, according to Jesus, is in fact a demon. It may look like a natural problem, but it is not. And it's important that we understand this differently. And hear me, I'm not saying everybody with epilepsy has a demon. I'm simply saying in this case, this boy who looks like he has epilepsy has a demon instead of epilepsy. And then when we talk about prayer, it's not to say that you're not trusting in God when you go to the doctor or take medication or seek needed help. It's simply a reminder that when you do all those things, you do so in prayer, praying. Jesus is right to call this a faithless generation. We ourselves confess that very fact this morning by the confession of our sins. So may our plea join that of the father of this boy. I believe, help my unbelief. And know God will help, and that he does. Prayer, you see, is a privilege. It's a privilege to speak to God, to the heavenly King of all creation. It's a great honor that we often just kind of overlook. Yet how many of us have loved that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer, only to not bother him. Prayer is the exhale, you see, of God-given faith. And faith is received through the working of the Holy Spirit in and through the Word and the sacraments. Want a more active and lively prayer life? Then be a more active listener and hear God's word and receive his gifts faithfully. I know that the church is not the only place that you can pray, but it is the place where our God-given faith is instructed by God's word and God's servants, your pastors. And contrary to the theologians of glory, God does indeed allow things to occur in our life that we can't control to remind us of the one who is in control. Jesus is the one who is in control. Just look at the text. The Father's request and the Lord's response is quite amazing. "But if you can do anything," he says, "have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus' response, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Jesus is always able. And so the demon is cast out. You see, even though the demon puts on quite a show that day for everybody to see, right? When the boy's brought to Jesus at first, throws him down on the ground, he starts foaming and convulsing, rolls around. And then when Jesus cast him out, after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them thought he was dead. You see, to some it looked like the cure was worse than the disease, than the demon possession. But Jesus is the Lord of life. Sin and death are not in control. Jesus is the one in control. He heals the sick. He casts out demons. He raises the dead. So Jesus just reaches his hand out to this boy, and he arose. Don't forget this. Don't forget death. Even death on a cross cannot hold Jesus. And since it can't hold him, death can't hold those who are joined to him through God-given faith. The unique thing about prayer is that it is an act of worship in which we are confessing to ourselves, if we're praying privately, or to everyone around us and ourselves, if we are praying publicly, who is in control. When you and I pray, we are not asking for anything that God doesn't know about. In fact, our prayers are answered even before we pray in Christ, and they're always answered yes in Him. See why we must join our voices with the boy's father? I believe, help my unbelief. St. Augustine, in speaking on this text, puts it this way. He says, where faith fails, prayer perishes. For who prays for that which he does not believe? So then, in order that we may pray, let us believe and let us pray that this faith, the same faith by which we pray, may not falter. Or as Luther taught, as you learned in the small catechism, where the heart is not right with God, it will never dare to pray. This is why we all need the forgiveness of our sins. Because we are forgiven, we can and in faith will approach the throne of God's grace with confidence when we ask God for His aid. Because we, as His dear children, ask their dear Father, and we pray knowing that God has not withheld anything from us, not even His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. For the Father only wants what is for our good and for the good of the church. Yet how hard it truly is when it feels like God isn't listening, or it appears that He doesn't care. St. Paul speaks of this when he prays that the thorn in his flesh would be removed. And the answer is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And oh, how I hate that answer. Don't you? This is why we have to join our confession with the boy's father. I believe, help my unbelief. And then we hear Jesus, all things are possible for one who believes. So today, through God-given faith, we have eyes of faith that see Jesus is still busy and active, present, working in His church for the well for us all. He heals our sick. He casts out demons. He forgives our sins, and He gives us His word, washes us in baptism, and feeds us His very body and blood, so that we, His people, are joined to Him, so that nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.